Hey, don't let your heart be troubled. You just got the one heart. And Jesus says an alternative direction. Trust in God, also trust in me. And the word for today is the word joy. That's why Jesus is doing all this teaching. So take a moment. On a scale of 1 to 10, as you look back over this past day, how much trouble has been in your world? Look at your circumstances. Be quite honest about this. And then also, how much peace is in your heart? And now what's quite extraordinary is this is the night before Jesus is going to be going to the cross, and he talks about joy an extraordinary amount. In John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, I have told you this. He's been telling them, remain in my love. Do that if you do what I command. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be fulfilled, might be running over the top, might be up to your ears. So, my joy, he says, as opposed to the joy of the world. The joy of the world is the desire-driven joy. If I could just have this, that's what desire says. I want this donut. I want it so bad. If I could just have this donut, this is the donut of joy. This would make me happy the rest of my life. And this is why desire itself, if it's ruling my life, is always deceitful and will never lead me to an untroubled heart. The joy of Jesus is to be pervaded with a sense of God's love for me and God's care and the gift of life and the mystery of it and that I'm engaged in loving other people, and then joy follows. That's the joy of Jesus. Now, how much joy does he want us to have? It's very striking. He says here in verse 11, I want my joy to be in you. Jesus was a joyful person. He would not have been able to say this to his disciples and have them remember it and write it down if they did not know that to be the case. So that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete, will be full, will be running over. In chapter 16, in the same discourse, he says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be, and again, the same word, complete, filled, running over. And then he's praying in verse 17, and he says, I'm coming to you now, Father, but I say these things while I'm still with them in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. What kind of man is this who keeps talking about joy? Gospel of John talks about joy more than any of the other Gospels, and it talks about it more on the last night when Jesus is facing the cross than any other time. Now, how do we pursue this joy? I have on my desk a whole stack of books that are all about how do you pursue joy. I'll switch to, oh, I have Cam just a minute, so you know I'm not making this up. And this is not on the basis of doing any kind of extensive research. These are just books I happen to have. Stumbling into Happiness, The Happiness Trap, Happier, Authentic Happiness, The Politics of Happiness, Happiness is a Choice, 10% Happier, that's a low bar, Finding Contentment, The Happiness Project, The How of Happiness, The Opposite of Depression, sneaky way of talking about it, Dave, carry on, The Pursuit of Happiness, Happiness, The Happiness Hypothesis, The Geography of Bliss and Joy, The Myths of Happiness, Feeling Good, Happiness is a Serious Problem. And this reminds me of a wonderful little section and a wonderful chapter and a wonderful book by Louis Smeads, How Can It Be All Right When Everything Is All Wrong, when he's talking about joy. Because authentic joy, one of the tests of it is, it has to be compatible with deep pain and suffering. The pain faucet and the joy faucet are always on in our world. And they were for Jesus when he was talking about joy. So joy is not about the escape from pain and suffering. Lou writes these wonderful words about joy, and he talks about one of the greatest mistakes that we can make when it comes to joy is we talk about it instead of letting it happen, instead of living it. So now today, live joy, ask for joy, look for joy. Lou tells his own version of a story by Dostoevsky, the ridiculous man. Somebody who is desperate, despairing, ready to end his life, and then has a dream about people who are filled with joy. But when he asks them to explain it, they've never thought about it. They don't think about joy, they just live it. So he learned that people who have joy don't need to understand it, they just are joyful. But then the dreadful thing happened. He stirred them up so much with his questions, they began thinking about joy. They began talking about joy. They began discussing it together until late into the night. They paid scholars to take sabbaticals to write theories about joy. There's a whole stack of them. They blabbed about it incessantly, began to write songs about it. The dreamer noticed to his horror that while they talked, they lost their joy. He had caused their fall. So the dreamer, seeing the monstrous thing he had done, began to preach to the people. They'd made a great mistake. They had fallen into despair. Do not talk about joy. You can be joyful. Do not write about joy. Be joyful. The important thing is not what you think about joy. The gift of joy is at your door. Take it. And the people who had in their innocence been possessed by joy said to him, "You're a ridiculous man, and your talk is the dream of a ridiculous man." They went back to their harangues. Some despaired of life and fell into death. They had traded the reality of joy for words about joy. And it's very striking, over the last 30 or 40 years, there has been more research on what is sometimes called, quote unquote, the science of joy than ever before in human history. But by all accounts, we are not becoming a more joyful people. We are more lonely and more isolated and experience less joy. At another time and another place, another man, Jesus, came and spoke to us of many things. When he was about to leave, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your own joy may be abundant." And now his Spirit comes to us with the power to believe that joy is our birthright, because the Lord has made this day for us. Pretty much every morning when I wake up, I say, I did it this morning from Psalm 118, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it," even if I have to add that little word somehow. When we have power to accept our day as his gift, we have entered our mansion of joy and discovered one more way that it can be all right, even when everything is all wrong. So, make this day the day of your joy as you learn to live with an untroubled heart in a troubled world. I had a story that I was going to read you that's a wonderful story. I might do it at some time. I'm not going to have time today. It's too bad. Don't ask me. Don't complain. Don't whine about this. Don't let it interfere with your joy. I'm just not going to have time to, but I'll say a couple of words that I had noted to lead into it. Probably the most famous psychological study in the world, at least one of them about well-being and flourishing, was begun by Harvard in 1938, looking at a group of the brightest and the best, including John F. Kennedy was a part of that original cohort, trying to figure out what enables people to flourish, how do people stay healthy, and what gives them longevity, and so on. There have been four leaders of this study. The most recent one did a TED talk on it. And the finding, the basic finding, the clearest message, is so simple he thought that when he announced that he would be laughed off the stage. And instead, his TED Talk has received 40 million views. And the finding is just this. It is people who have deep, significant, meaning-filled relationships who live the healthiest and most joy-filled lives. No kidding. And that's why Jesus, as soon as he talks about joy, he goes on to say, "And this is my command, love one another." How do you pursue joy? Well, a lot of books can be helpful with it. But there's an old song that kind of sums it up. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And of course, the core obedience is to his central commandment, love each other. It is in the process of love that joy flows. It comes indirectly. It comes by accident. It comes in the aftermath of love. I was with a group of five of us who went through Wheaton together, and every year we spend the better part of a week hanging out. And there is so much laughter during that week, I cannot begin to tell you. One of our great sadnesses is our wives do not understand how funny we are. And this is just the gospel truth. And when we're together, we remember. And it's just, I feel badly for them that they do not appreciate it. My friend Chuck, we've kind of walked through in recent times the illness and then the death of his older sister. And when he was with her the day before he died, the last words that he was able to speak to her, he said, "I love you." And then he used a nickname for her that she would always use for him. And I will not tell you what that nickname was. Do not write and ask me. I cannot. It's too personal and for a variety of reasons that Chuck will appreciate through laughter and tears. But it was just the right thing to say. And I was thinking, Chuck, you know, there's that verse in Revelation 2:20 that says, one day each one of us who follow and trust Jesus will receive a white stone with a name written on it that's known only by God and me, by God and you. Wouldn't it be funny if that was the name on Julie Stone, or wouldn't it be funny if that was the name on your stone? And it made me think about laughter in the Trinity. You know, the teaching of the Trinity is not some abstract doctrine. It is this connection that the Harvard brilliant guys are making. Oh, to be in deep relationship produces joy. We live in a Trinitarian reality. And I wonder, do the Trinity tease each other? Like, do they ever say, you know, Spirit, you're supposed to be so omniscient. Why don't you come up with a riddle I can't answer? And I have no idea. I just know the laughter and joy that comes from teasing or from giving or from laughing together or from serving one another, noticing each other, is a little echo of the fellowship of the joy. The fellowship of the withered hand, see, is actually the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Spirit who at work in our midst, and our loving of one another. So today, don't miss joy. Don't just talk about it. Don't just write about it. Don't just think about it. Be it. Ask for it. As you walk through the day and you see beauty, stop and delight in it. If there's something that you have messed up and you feel inadequate, forgive yourself. Make the decision now. You will contact at least one more person that you weren't planning on as a result of this time. That you give a call to somebody, maybe somebody you haven't talked about for a while, that you will connect with another person. I might have already said this, and I know I'm over time, but if I didn't say it, yes, really interesting research. For people who commute, for every 10 minutes that added to a daily commute, you are 0.5% more likely to experience the symptoms of depression, because that's just the power of isolation. So break through it. Let somebody else know that you care about them. Trust and obey. No other way. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is joy.
Hey, before you go, be sure to click that subscribe button below this video to make sure you don't miss any future episodes in this series, Untroubled Heart. You can also head over to our website, becomenew.com, and subscribe for the text or the email, which will send you additional resources, thoughts, and questions to go along with each episode. Become New is so much more than just a video to watch. It's really a community to be part of. And so I encourage you to chime in the comments and add your voice to the conversation. In fact, if you're not a part of our Facebook group, during this series, I'm posting a question via video for each episode in the series. And I would love to have you engage with me there. So you can head over there by clicking the link in the description to this video. You can also find the links to our Instagram and X account if you want to follow those throughout the week. If you have a prayer request, there is a team of us who meet to pray each weekday for viewers just like yourself. So don't carry that burden alone. We want you to send it to us so that we can come alongside you. You can text it to 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. I'll be seeing you.